Welcome to Be Inspired with your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce, bringing you the right information right now to help you transform your mind, get more from life, and overcome adversity so you can enjoy more success. Accomplishments and adversity are two sides of the same coin. You have to overcome the adversity in order to see the results of the accomplishments. It's not just motivation, it's inspiration. If you want to be on the winning side of the coin, you'll want to tune in to the next hour. Now, here are your hosts, James Dindley and Stephen Pierce.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. Hello, Stephen. How was your week?
I'm doing awesome, Dr. Dindley. How are you?
I am absolutely phenomenal. I'm floating on cloud nine. And I tell you, we want to welcome all of our guests today because today we're going to talk about how to finally break through barriers and overcome obstacles. And I tell you that, you know, life is full of obstacles. You know, Jim Rohn once said, it's not the blowing of the wind, but it's the set of the sail, because the wind blows on us all. And I know in my life and the lives of everyone I've ever coached, counseled, or even mentored, that our lives are full of obstacles. And today we're going to talk about, you know, how you take those obstacles and turn them around to empower you in your life, to reframe these things, to be able to make the shift and deep sea dive a little bit about what they do to the cancerous outcomes of these obstacles if you don't adhere to taking care of yourself in the right way mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. You know, Booker T. Washington once stated that success is to be measured not by the position that one has reached in life, but by the obstacles in which they've overcome. So, Steve, let's turn it over to you, man. Let's talk about obstacles in your life, man. You know, we've all experienced different dramatic things in our lives. I mean, even from childbirth, that's dramatic in itself when you have to get your head through a keyhole. But the bottom line is, we want to just deep sea dive into obstacles. Let's talk about your take on how you break through those barriers and overcome obstacles.
Well, one thing is for certain is that where there are no obstacles, there's certainly no opportunity. Obstacles tend to be the gatekeepers of opportunities. Most people think that, hey, when there's an opportunity, the red carpet is going to be rolled out for you and you're going to be able to seize the moment by tiptoeing through tulips. That's not how it happens. It's more like you're running butt naked through a thorn bush, you know, to try to get to it. You know, it's all about what you're willing to overcome. And that quote from Booker T. Washington is interesting because even when I reflect on my life and everything that I went through, like having 14 businesses fail before I started to have any businesses that were successful, and then meeting a lot of other people that were successful in their own businesses. And I'm talking about 7 and 8 and 9 figure businesses. And the conversations are a whole lot different. In the very beginning, when you haven't really accomplished much of anything yet, but a lot of the conversations about what you want, where you're wanting to get this, like this escapism from where you currently are to this place that you want to ultimately get to. But yet, once you start achieving certain things, the conversation starts to shift to what it is you overcome. You know, like when we're talking about running different ads and how much money we lost on different ads and, oh man, I did this and that didn't work and I did that and that didn't work. And then I remember once I did this, this started to work. And we don't run from those obstacles and we have no regret of those obstacles. It's almost like we relish in everything that we were able to overcome. In other words, those battle scars. So whatever it is or wherever you are in life right now and whatever it is you currently accomplished, the way you've gotten there, Dr. Dindley, the way I've gotten to where I am and the way everyone that is listening have gotten into their life position, it was always on the wave of obstacles. If you have a doctorate or you have a PhD or whatever it is, maybe you're winning Mr. Olympia or something like that. Man, there's obstacles that you go through in that building process. But what tends to happen is when we're facing today's obstacles, those tend to overshadow all the obstacles that we overcame previously. And as a result, we tend to forget how strong and how resilient we really are. So I want to talk about the 5 primary internal obstacles, because that's the big thing. But before we do that, though, here's going to be a big shift and distinction that I want everyone to make. Not everyone sees the same thing as an obstacle. Let me give you a real example. There are a group of men and women that actually train relentlessly to go onto a track to run and jump hurdles.
Yep.
I mean, think about that metaphorically. how they are training to be able to clear hurdles as fast as possible. Not complain about the hurdles, they're training expecting the hurdles to be there. See, in life, everybody has hurdles. Those are all these external things that we tend to experience, but not every hurdle is viewed as an obstacle. I consider obstacles to be those internal barriers. For example, you can have one person looking at the same hurdle and it's not an obstacle because he or she is like, hey, I can clear that. Another person who maybe has never run and cleared hurdles before can look at that same hurdle and see that as an obstacle. Like, man, how am I going to get over that? You know, can I go under it? Can I go around? You know, so the whole thing is understand that these barriers and these hurdles, I consider those to be external things, but it doesn't necessarily mean it is an obstacle for us. Hey, some people look at it as a challenge, right? Hey, bench pressing 300 pounds for one person, that's a hurdle. Another person is an obstacle. They can't do it. A hurdle, hey, I can clear this. I can get this. And if not, I'm going to train for it. Another person is an obstacle, and they tend to run away from it. So the very first internal obstacle is worry. And I look at worry as uncertainty about the future, right? You know, like being worry warts. And, you know, I say most people are worriers as opposed to being warriors, right? Being warriors and dealing with the certain things that come our way, because we do have a choice on how we're going to respond. We can respond with this warrior mentality and this warrior spirit, or we can respond from this place of worry, which tends to suck the life out of you. I mean, it's like it drains your brain of all the energy to be able to think critically, to think creatively, to think analytically, and all the different things you would want from your mental facility to be able to deal with whatever it is you're dealing with. It's like all of that life is sucked out of you when you allow yourself to be caught up into worry, which, again, a lot of us, it's all about this uncertainty, because we kind of want to have a certain element of control, which is interesting, because for us to be control freaks, for the most part, as people, we tend to give up our control of life to everybody else. And we'll probably get to that, if not in today's show, another show. So one hurdle in our mind, or obstacle that's in our mind, is worry. And I'm not talking about concern. Right, I'm not talking about concern. And concern and worry are not the same thing. You know, worry is like a weight that weighs you down. And I'm gonna go a little bit further into that a little bit later. But James, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this entire topic that we're discussing today. And you know, I brought back some memories. And you're absolutely right, Stephen. You know, first of all, you know, in the armed forces, they have an obstacle course. And that means they put obstacles in your path to teach you, to prepare you, to train you mentally and emotionally, instinctively, to be able to solve problems. If you look at every major company out there and all the CEOs that run these companies, why do they get the golden parachute? Why does a CEO make millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars and walk away with maybe hundreds of millions of dollars when they leave a company? And then you have other people who are the employees that complain a lot about their lack and why there's such a big distance and a big gap between their incomes. Because the people at the highest levels have to solve the big problems. They have to be able to make those decisions, and you're paid really to overcome and deal with obstacles and to stay ahead of those obstacles. So these are the things that are there to prepare you. I remember years ago when I was with the company and I was relocated to Atlanta, Georgia. And I remember I had some tough times and I hit a wall. I found myself homeless. And that was an obstacle for me. And that was an obstacle. But that obstacle also built me. And then at the same time, there were people around me. We were all striving to reach a pinnacle of success in a particular company. And I had another good friend of mine, and his home burned down. And all he was left with was a pair of shoes with holes in them. And he still went on to reach the top level of that company and ended up becoming a millionaire as he went through those obstacles, because they prepared him and they built a muscle with him and built the strength in him and the fortitude within him to push forward. And then it's not a matter of what you can do. It's that what you haven't done yet. It's a matter that, you know, if you can do it, you reframe it. I have friends of mine who we go to conventions, and one of my good friends, his mom passed away. And that's an obstacle. And his mom passed away, and we said, look, we're giving him our condolences, and we expect him to go home and be with his family. And he said, no. She will want me to be here. She loved this. There's nothing I can do here. I want to be here for my team, because there were literally hundreds of people that had come there because on his influence. And, you know, so there's obstacles, whether people get sick. I've seen people have a 15% chance of living with cancer. I've seen people with their bedridden with a bad heart. I've had a good friend of mine, Pastor Carter, who broke her leg. And all these people in the midst of these obstacles and these challenges that were in front of them, these barriers that could have stopped the average person, they made a decision in the moment that they were going to step through, to become relentless, to become outstanding in a moment where despair would be the theme of the day and everyone would understand and say, well, I understand why you would have these challenges. I want to share one more story. There were two brothers, and they were being interviewed by a local newspaper. And one brother was a third-time criminal, and he was in jail for life. And the other brother was a very successful attorney. They interviewed, the local paper interviewed the brother that was a criminal, and they said, well, what happened in your life? Your brother's very successful. Why are you here? And his answer was, Stephen, he said, what did you expect to happen to me? Nobody ever cared about me. My father never loved me. He spat on me. He told me I was nothing. He abused me. He hated me. How did you expect me to turn out? And the reporters, some of the reporters, they began to go into empathy, and they understood why he felt that way and why he had a really tough life. They went and asked his brother the same question. Your brother's in jail, but how did you turn out to be so successful? And sure enough, his brother said, well, what did you expect me to be? What did you expect me to do? My father never loved me. He abused me. He spat on me. He told me I was nothing. Nobody ever cared about me. You know, he cast me out. What did you expect me to do? And it reminds me of Viktor Frankl when he wrote in his book, when two men both trapped behind prison bars, one man chose the mud, the other man saw the stars. So in the midst of those obstacles, what do you see? What are you referencing? And that's what we're talking about today. So I want you to go into depression. Number two.
So with the five primary obstacles, now, granted, there's a lot of these mental things that we tend to deal with, and I'm just hitting on five of the most common ones. And generally, some of the other ones will lead to these common ones. You know, the first one being worry, the second one, like Dr. Dentley just mentioned, being depression. And depression generally, and I'm not talking about someone that may have been diagnosed with some kind of chemical imbalance, so they're clinically depressed or something like that. And yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, something like that. I'm talking about the kind of depression that we volunteer to participate in because we're not in agreement with what's happened or what's happening in our life. And this is the key part. We're feeling powerless to be able to do something about it. So you go into this place of depression, and it's one of the darkest places that you can get into. And the more you spiral down into depression, the harder it is to get out. And then that's when people start to go to the chemicals and to the drugs, which start to create problems of their own. So being able to control our mental states, have that mind management like we talked about in the previous show, is critical because we must know how to manage the facilities of our mind, right? Because that's like the key leverage point of our entire lives. If we let that go, everything else in our life is going to follow behind it. Now, the third thing is fear. And fear, for the most part, it can be triggered by a lot of different things, but I'm talking about more specifically having a loss obsession, right? A lot of people are afraid because they feel as if, oh, they may lose their life, they may lose their money, they may lose their relationship, they may lose a certain identity they must have among people, or they may lose respect, they may lose love, or whatever it is. So they have this huge obsession with losing that thing that they're holding in their hands, that the fear prevents them from doing something. That it is that if they did it, one or two things is going to happen. They're going to make progress from it, or something's not going to work out and they're going to learn something from it, right? Now, the fourth thing is intimidation. And this is big. And when it comes to intimidation, that's really about seeing yourself as small and incapable by comparison to something or someone. That's what it is. Whenever someone is feeling intimidated, it's because in their own mind, they see themselves as small compared to something else, right? So that's the fourth thing. And the fifth thing is doubt. And doubt is big because doubt is about believing in your limitations. And here's something I want to make sure everybody gets. Both faith and doubt are two sides of the same coin called belief, because you are always believing something. You're either on the side of the coin of faith where you are believing in your unlimited potential, or you're on the side of the coin of belief of doubt, which means you are believing in your limitations. But one way or another, you are believing in something. And doubt is an abuse of our belief system because we have the right to choose what we're going to believe. But for some reason, we come under this hypnosis and we start to doubt what it is we can do. We start to doubt our ability, doubt if we're good enough, doubt if we're capable. And now that becomes the thread that goes throughout every single thing that we have, building insecurities in our relationships, building insecurities with ourselves. And then that starts to throw everything into this downward spiral and the dominoes start to fall and life starts to collapse just about everywhere it is we go. Doubt is deadly. Doubt is one of those things that it kills. I mean, and it kills badly. Dr. Dentley, is there something that, because I know we're going to go to break in a couple minutes here, but is there something you want to add on to that? Because when we come back, I want to get into what I consider to be the three locations of those obstacles.
Well, all of these things, worry, depression, fear, intimidation, and doubt, sounds to me like they're stories. And it's not in alignment with who we authentically are, who we are and who we're born to be. And I really think that the key here as we continue this conversation today is going to come down to just really understanding what your true identity is, to bring out that superhero in you that you were born to be, because all of us were born the same way. We're all born naked. We're all done without a lot of good sense, and we can't speak a lick. So the bottom line, everything that we execute and we live on and we build our lives on is based upon the stories and the truths that we interpret in ourselves and creating an identity of that, and we just go into that story. The good news is that there's an escape, because if you create the story, you can create the ending. You can tell the future if you're willing to write it. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back here. We're going to get into a very, very important topic. One that it doesn't matter what stage of life a person is in, how to finally break through barriers and overcome obstacles. So let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What is the real social impact that those in the entertainment industry are making? Indie Vision Radio with host Scott C. Brown, the founder of the Indie Vision Project and Maxit Magazine, is a personal conversation about their work in the industry and the impact they're having on humanity. From world health to world peace, you're given a true behind-the-scenes look at what those working in the indie realm are doing to make a positive influence on the world. On the Influencers Channel, tune in to Indie Vision Radio, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America.
It's time to elevate yourself and your business to the next level. What are the secrets of business success? Discover them on Key Entrepreneurs of Influence with your host, Kieran Sweeney. Find out who the business owners are that stand out in their respective industries and what they can teach you. The program contains valuable advice that can cost thousands through a professional consultant. Key Entrepreneurs of Influence can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Hey, welcome back. This is James, and Stephen and I are going deep sea diving into a very important topic, how to finally overcome barriers and break through barriers and overcome your obstacles. And we're just about to go into the three locations of obstacles. So, Stephen, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Take it away.
All right. So, welcome back, everybody. Now, when it comes to the location of these obstacles, regardless of where we are in our lives, we'll always find that they're in one of three places. Our past, meaning where you've been, there's something that happened in your past that you continue to reference, right? Or it's in the present, you know, whom you've become today and where you are today. Or it's somewhere in the future that you are projecting in your mind as it relates to whom you're becoming or where you're wanting to move your life towards. Now, the interesting thing is how we use our energy. there's nothing that we can do to change anything in our past, right? But a lot of people, a lot of us, we will spend a lot of our resources in terms of our mental energy and our time and our emotion regretting all these different things that may have happened in our past, or being resentful of what something somebody did to us, or whatever the case may be. But we are not able to do anything to change the past. Now, we can influence our future by what it is we do in the present. What happens is, though, if the vision for your future is influenced by the worry and the depression and the fear and the intimidation and the doubt, what begins to happen is that becomes the lens that through which you're seeing your present circumstances, your present life, your present location, and you look at today being a bridge to nowhere, right? Because you don't see that you have a future, right? You don't think there's anything out there better for you. You think that, hey, you peaked in your life. You know, this is about as good as it's going to get. There's nothing else left for you. You're not good enough. You're not deserving. And sometimes that is something we're repeating to ourselves because we heard it from someone else, or there's self-judgments that we're making through a false interpretation of what's going on in our life, because maybe you had a series of things that failed and the people around you were not able. Let's just say you were an entrepreneur. And a lot of entrepreneurs, if you're a successful entrepreneur, you know that it was a ladder of perpetual failures to get you there. And even to this day, you still continue to experience failures on some level of something not working. It could be an ad campaign. It can be something that you're doing within the organization. So that never really goes away. However, if you're an entrepreneur and you're amongst people that don't understand that entrepreneurial spirit and mindset, and you are an entrepreneur and you're building stuff up, and the stuff that you're looking to build keeps collapsing for some reason, because you don't know what you don't know when you're building a business. I can tell you now, every business that I had started through the series of 14 failures, I wasn't expecting any of them to not work out. I was gung-ho. I was all in on every single one. And I was making terrible mistakes, but I didn't know they were mistakes until after the fact, right? You don't know their mistakes up front. You know their mistakes after the fact, and now you have a choice to make. Hey, I can take this mistake and go and do the next business and not repeat that mistake, or I can quit. Right? I can say, hey, this is not meant to be. This is an omen. This is a sign from the heavens. No, or I can say, all right, lesson learned. Let me go to the next business. And then you're going to make another mistake. You don't really stop doing that. But what happens is, if you don't properly interpret what's going on, you are disoriented with how to read the feedback you're getting in life. You can think it's not meant to be. You can think, hey, you're cursed. Right. You know, if you probably heard me say it before in a previous episode, what you call a challenges, life calls strength training. Right. Hey, life is there to help make you strong. Weak people are not allowed to live at the apex of life. And to get there, the strength is built through the progress. The strength is built through the process. So when you're looking at your past and you're looking at your future and you're dealing with your present, I'm going to give you an example in a few minutes on, you know, a good reference point that I love to go to, and at least in my mind, help me to make sure that I stay perfectly clear on how to properly use the past and the present and the future. However, there's something that we deal with that I call the wrestling match. The wrestling match is dealing with two things. It's resisting reality. When we start talking about how it should not be, that's us resisting reality. Hey, it maybe it should not be that way, but that's how it is. Right? So we start throwing our body against this brick wall of reality, and reality is not going to break. You're going to be the one that breaks, because it is what it is. So we start to wrestle with reality, right? We're resisting reality and fighting the facts. The facts are the facts, right? So instead of spending our energy resisting the reality of the situation, right, and fighting the facts of the situation, what we want to do is we want to take our energy and look at how can I create a new reality. And just because it's a fact today doesn't mean it's going to be a fact tomorrow. Facts don't have to be permanent unless they're in the past. Hey, it was a fact that I used to weigh X amount of weight, but it is not a prophetic fact written in stone that I have to be that same weight in the future. It was a fact that I used to be homeless. That did not mean that that's how it had to always be, right? Because where you are does not necessarily mean that's where you have to be all the time. So this whole idea of resisting reality, it shouldn't be this way. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Okay, maybe it shouldn't be that way, but what are you going to do about making it the way you want? Not how it should be, the way that you want it. What is it you're able to control in this moment? And that brings me to talking about going back to those three locations of the obstacles, right? The past, the present, and the future. And for us to stop resisting reality and stop fighting the facts, we want to do what I call controlling the three controllables, right? Now, when it comes to your past, it's all about properly replaying your past. Your past is unforgettable, but we have a choice, because you can easily go to your past and remember a lot of horrible things, but you can equally go to your past and remember a lot of beautiful things, right? And then when it comes to your future, it's about pre-playing your future properly, right? How? Because again, it is that your mind is your theater. You can decide what movie you want to play on the screen of your own mind. You can project this horror movie for the future, or it can be a love story. It can be an action film. It can be a comedy. It can be whatever movie you want it to be. It's your mind, your screen, your theater, your show. You are the director, you are the producer, and you are the actor. You decide what the future picture is going to be that you're pre-playing on your mind, right? And then in the present, it's actually playing that game based on the strength that we're drawing from our past, because we're replaying our past the proper way and properly engaging the future. And to illustrate that, I love to use the story of David and Goliath from the Bible. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story. I just want to talk about the moment when everybody else was afraid and he was facing Goliath. And if you remember clearly what he said, when he looked at Goliath, which anybody can say, Goliath was a barrier, he was a hurdle, and he was an obstacle, because Saul and everybody else was afraid and they were hiding, right? So they definitely saw that Goliath was, hey man, he is big, and he was a warrior, and he was known to be taking people down. But little old David, quote unquote, little old David, he walked out of there, but what was one of the first things that came out of his mouth? He replayed his past. He said, I remember killing the bear with my bare hands. I remember killing the lion, right? He didn't say, I remember Saul and them messing with me. I remember, the sheep. You know, he didn't remember some point of weakness from his past. It's not that he didn't have it. He just didn't in that moment remember it. Why? What resource could he draw from that in that moment that was going to give him strength to face Goliath? Nothing. But he knew, hey, I haven't faced this guy before, this Goliath, but I took out the bear, I took out the lion. So he replayed a part of his past to give him strength right there in the present. That's the choice that we all make. And he also pre-played the future, because he looked at Goliath and said, and I see your head coming off. Remember that? I mean, this is a perfect illustration on how he used his own mind while everyone else was afraid. In other words, he was non-responsive and non-reactive to the fear around him. Many of us, we go into an environment and we allow fear to be contagious. We'll become hey, you shouldn't do that business, man. Now their fear becomes your fear, so you back down from the deal because somebody else is afraid. Hey, if you're going to be afraid, have your own fear. Don't borrow somebody else's fear. You know what I mean? But don't be afraid, right? There's no need to be afraid anyway, right? Worst thing you can do is die. And when you die, ain't like you're going to be dead saying to yourself, man, I was messed up. You're gone, right? You're not going to be laid up talking about you shouldn't have done whatever. You're gone. Back to David, right? So remember, all the people around him afraid. Every single trained soldier was hiding and afraid. David was non-reactive, and he did not allow that fear to become contagious. He immediately used his past. He replayed the past and said, hey, what do I remember? Out of everything he could remember, I remember killing the bear, I remember killing the lion. I mean, hey, I got some strength, man. I can do this. I had never done that before, and I did it. I never done this before, but I know I can do this. And then he had a vision for the situation. Goliath, I see your head coming off. And then he played the present. Remember I said, play the present based on how you're replaying your past and how you're pre-playing your future. And what did he do? He went for it. He took his head off, and then, you know, long story short, he went to Saul, he was dancing, he got all the prizes, and, you know, maybe we can go into the story in more detail, because it's a lot to that story that we can learn. But the point is in every given moment, in the facility of your own mind. You are referencing the past, you are referencing the future while you're sitting here in the current present state. The only question is, how are you going about using it? Are you using it in a way that serves you? Or are you using it in a way that sabotages you? We are the one that have complete and total control of that. If there's one thing that we have control over, is that if there's one thing that we all are on par with, are two things, 24 hours in a day and the choice to control what goes on in our own minds. Right, Dr. Dentley, is there something you wanted to add on to that?
Man, I tell you, I'm still stuck with, it's not like you're going to be dead in the grave saying, man, that was messed up. I'm still stuck right there. absolutely. And when you think about just the way that we process information in our mind and the stories that we come up with, they're really ridiculous. There's no truth to them. And if you really analyze it, it's never been true. And it's obvious that it's not true. I mean, we're all unlimited balls of potential that can create, each and every one of us. And just talking, thinking about obstacles and how obstacles are just a natural part of nature, of everything that lives, everything that experiences life in the world. We were talking about seeds and planting seeds last week. And when you plant a seed, and let's just say whether it's a tree or whether it's you're growing greens, it doesn't matter what it is. When something has to take root, Stephen, you would agree with me that a seed, first of all, it has to grow down before it can grow up. That means it has to take root. And to take root, is harder to push through the dirt and through the rock for the root to grow than it is to push through and just grow up through the air. You see? But the hardest part is the root. And that without the root, there is no plant. Without the foundation, there is no home. Without the foundation in our lives and secure and understanding that, then it's hard for us to be able to stay strong and to be able to fight through and really reframe this, because we're blowing with the wind because we're not rooted to anything. Just not rooted. So when you look at how to overcome obstacles and then break through these barriers, you know, the first thing I want everybody to understand is that everything you ever needed, you had it inside. It's just like they said in The Wizard of Oz. It's absolutely true. You already have it. You already are there. It's just time for us to live our best life ever and for us to step into ourselves and become free from the self-imposed emotions and the obstacles that we've created and limitations and the stories and the identity that we've brought upon ourselves that are slowing us down. This is a great day, because this is the day that every person under the sound of our voices today can step out of themselves today and create a brand new reality. And if you're doing great already, now you can do something even greater. Let's keep it moving. We're going to talk about counterattacking the five primary internal obstacles. And I guess I'll tell you what, I'll pose a problem and want you to go with the solution.
All right, awesome.
All right. Problem number one. Okay. Circumstances are breeding grounds for worry, depression, fear, intimidation, and doubt. What's the solution?
Okay, so the thing is our circumstances. Many of us, we look at our circumstances, right? And that's where we're going to make a decision on how we're going to be feeling in any given moment. I spent a long time in sales and working with salespeople, and I will always say they don't have self-esteem, they have sales esteem. And what that means is how they're feeling about themselves in any given moment is based on how well they're selling that day, right? It's like when I dealt with future traders and commodities traders. How they were feeling was based on where they winning in the market and where they were losing and how much they were losing. They can go home and kick the cat and scream at people and they didn't do anything. They just had a bad day at the market. So they're allowing circumstances, and many of us can do this. If we're not aware of how attached we can become to circumstances, then we will allow that we think that we are in control. You look at your bank account and whatever, and you're feeling a certain way about yourself based on the bank balance. Right. So you're not really in control of how you're feeling. You're allowing all these external things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should be happy to be broke. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is if your emotional state is always attached to something external, you're not in control. At any given moment, when something external changes, your emotional state is going to change. So for a lot of us, our circumstances are that breeding ground. You know, where all of a sudden we start to have worry and the depression, the fear, the intimidation, those five primary internal obstacles we talked about. But here's the thing. Everything isn't what it seems. When you look at your circumstances, everything isn't what it seems, but everything is what we make it mean. Now, I'll let that sink in. When you're looking at circumstances, it may not be what it seems, but it's going to always be whatever you make that mean. And that's a personal choice that we have. So the solution to that is to take your eyes off of your circumstances and put them on what you're looking to create. You don't want to, we don't want to live our lives based on where we are. We want to live our lives based on where it is we're going. Right? You don't really want to be doing and building based on what it is you have. You want to be building and doing based on what it is you want. When a person wants to start a business and they don't have the money, if they decide to build the business based on their circumstances of no money, then they don't build the business. But if they're like, hey, we want to build the business, let's go get the money. Now what they're doing is they're building it based on what it is they want, because they don't have the money. They're going to go get angel investor. They're going to go get a venture capitalist. They're going to go get a bank loan. They're going to do some other means to get the financing, right? So they're not limited to their existing circumstances. So remember, the way to sidestep the existing circumstances is not to pretend that it doesn't exist, because we want to deal with it. We talked about the controlling those three controllables. But it's understand that, hey, we don't have to become obsessed with it. We don't have to allow it to become an anchor and a weight and weigh us down into these emotionally dark places. I can understand it, but I can take my eyes off of it and start looking at what it is I want to create. I understand the current circumstances, but what do I want to create? I'm going to start living my life based on where it is I'm going and not where it is I am. You understand that? Dr. Dentley, before we run the break, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I tell you, the circumstances is not really about that. It's who we decide to become and who we decide to be in that circumstance. And that dictates how we choose to act and respond. And we always say that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. We have to decide, you have to decide what matters to you and what matters and how it matters to you. And you get to pick that. That's why I say that every day is a great day. Some are just better. They say, well, how can every day be a great day? I said, because I get to choose. I can't choose the circumstances of what comes at me, but who I can be and how I'm going to respond, I always get to choose. And I always take the high road. Why? Because I get to choose. Let's take a break. Let's go back to the second problem about hopelessness. And then we're going to talk about the five steps of the straitjacket of obstacles and get it right out of there.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Want to improve your health, business, and life just by listening to a radio show? Well, we can at least move you in the right direction. Listen for Spotlight, the Allison H. Larson Show. Each week, Allison will speak with amazing guests and find out what's changed their lives and how they are changing the lives of others. From beauty to health to business and personal relationships, we're here to inspire you to live your life of passion. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Are you ready for provocative discussions with some of today's most powerful movers and shakers? Tune in to The Art of Significance, featuring Dan Clark, the modern-day Napoleon Hill, who interviews the wealthiest, most successful celebrities and business leaders on the planet, who are using their influence to change the world. From authors to entertainers, sports figures, educators, to military leaders, Dan covers multiple topics. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Influencers Channel.
Change starts here. Change starts now. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You are tuned into Be Inspired. We'd love to hear from you via email with questions and comments. Drop us a line to Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. That's Stephen@NBCUniversity.com. Now, back to Be Inspired.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We were just talking about how circumstances are the breeding ground for worry, depression, fear, intimidation, and doubt. And we went through that solution, but now we're going to go to the second part of this about hopelessness. Hopelessness is the primary fuel for worry, depression, fear, intimidation, and doubt. So, Stephen, I want you to give us the solution to that.
Well, prior to the break, early on, Dr. Dentley was talking about, referencing back to when we were talking about like planting seeds and stuff, right? And I look at those five primary internal obstacles, like that worry and depression and stuff. Those are like weeds, right? So what you want to do is, in terms of a solution, is you want to guard your mind with hope. Now, hope's not a strategy, but it gives you fuel, right? And it becomes soil that your faith can be grounded and rooted in, and so that it can grow. However, you still have to stand on guard. And in the previous episode, I told you that my wife and I, we garden. We have in-ground gardens, we have raised bed gardens, and we do container gardening. And the most amazing thing happens, even when you're doing container gardening, it's not even in the ground. You're putting compost in it and stuff like that, and weeds will still find a way. It's a container. How are weeds coming up in the container? And it's like this. Always remember this. Weeds will always find a way. And just like we have internal and external obstacles, like consider hurdles and obstacles, hey, weeds are internal and external. All of those, that stuff like the worry and the depression, those are weeds of the mind. But then external weeds can be people, you know, the haters, the criticizers, you know, those that berate you. You know, they just tend to find a way. They come up where you don't want them to come up. Nobody wants weeds in their garden. Nobody wants weeds in their life. But guess what? They come up. You can sit there and complain about the weeds. You better take care of them. So, hey, we got to pull the weeds up. So what that means is you always want to be on guard of your mind. Just because you're faith, and hope does not mean that those weed seeds are not going to be planted to try to get you to lean into worrying and being depressed and fearful and intimidated and doubtful, and then the list goes on and on. So, yeah, you want to have this bulletproof mindset, but in doing that, you want to make sure that you're fully guarded in being aware of how those things would just all of a sudden try to take you over. So, Dr. Dentley, you were talking about us going into the five steps out of the straitjacket of obstacles. What would be the first one of the five? All right, the first one of the five is don't just define the problem. You want to discover the solution in the opportunity. Listen, problems, they're clear, but they're there for a reason, right? There's something about that problem that's sitting in front of you that is begging for a moment of creation to that solution. So whatever complaints you have, turn complaints into creation. Listen, that's what drives businesses, right? Businesses are in existence to solve people's problems. Now, I know some people are like, hey, businesses I deal with, they creating problems for me. But then somebody else comes around and then they solve that problem, right? So for example, if you have a baby and you're traveling, that could be a problem. A solution is what? It is a baby seat for the car, right? So certain situations, I'm not saying the baby's a problem. don't get that part twisted. I'm talking about traveling with a several month old baby in the car, or maybe even a couple years old. The baby needs to be properly secure. And that's a problem to not properly secure the baby. So what is the solution? A car seat. So when we look at that stuff, we don't really rant and rave. You go into the house and you hit the switch and the light blows. It may take you by surprise, darn it. But do you go for counseling? Do you start calling up people to get some emotional support because the light went out? No, you change the bulb. See, we are built to be able to just deal with things as they happen. But for some reason, there's certain areas of our life where we don't really think that the response is that easy. And the responding is that easy. The solution may not come as quickly as changing a light bulb, but the response to whatever is going on can be as easy as that, as long as we have this mindset that when the problem appears and we're not surprised by it because it's going to happen, you're going to be looking for the opportunity inside of that problem. You're going to be looking for the path to something bigger, you know, whatever the gift is that's in that problem. And that's the beautiful thing. The fact that a lot of the problems that we experience is that we have these problems that come into our life and we think they're there to burn us. We think they're there to bury us. We think they're there to hurt us. And that's not it. They're there to help us to grow. They're there to show us what we're really made of. They're there to bring the best out of us. And we run from the very thing that's given to us as a gift to help us to become the men and women that we say that we want to be. It's like, hey, I want to become this. A problem shows up and it's like, hey, You said you wanted to become A, so problem B came up to show you the way to become A, to help you to strengthen yourself spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, intellectually, so you can become A. And you're running from the very thing that has been gifted to you as a problem for you to solve, an obstacle for you to overcome, a hurdle for you to clear, right? And then we run from the very thing that showed up in honoring what we said we wanted to be, do, or have. It's interesting. It's like you say you, hey, I want to, it's like somebody says, I want to be able to bench press 300 pounds. And then somebody puts some weights in your hand. You're like, no. Now, I know that's ridiculous. And that's kind of like an extreme example. But that's kind of like how it happens, because many of us, we don't understand what the path to where we want to go looks like. We know what we want it to look like. Hey, I want to become X, Y, and Z, and I want to do it through path of A, B, and C. No, you may want to become X, Y, and Z, but life is going to give you the path that you need to go down to be able to get that. That disorientation comes in when the path does not look like what we had expected. What we want to do is, and we talked about this in a previous episode, is we just want to be able to accept it for what it is. Now, number two, being accountable for your life. Be accountable for your life. Taking responsibility for where you are gives you your power back. Listen, a lot of times people say, it's not my fault. Let me tell you something. That phrase, is not my fault, is one of the most spineless and powerless positions you can ever have. And by the way, it also breeds hopelessness, because if it's not your fault, you have no control, you have no power to change it. And then all of a sudden, now you're hopeless because there's nothing I can do about it. It's not my fault. Now you're the victim. There's nothing you can do about it. Now you're hopeless. You have no control. Now you are at the mercy of life. You're at the mercy of this person or this company or this environment or this economy or whatever, because they did it to you. We have no ownership. Hey, listen, regardless of whatever's happened to us, and things do happen to us, don't get me wrong. People do bad things to you. Stuff happens bad. However, we don't want to give up our power. The moment that we can understand the role that we proactively played, hey, maybe I make the decision to be there. You know, you're in the relationship and the person ends up being absolutely horrible. Obviously, you didn't know the person was going to be horrible in the beginning, because unless you love pain, you wouldn't have said yes or wouldn't have done your deal, right? You find out later, right? There's the learning. We tend to find out a lot of the stuff after the fact. And they do certain things, right? But guess what? They did that. Now you can go and you can run and be the victim and, you know, lick your wounds because of what they did. Or you can say, hey, man, listen, I had a poor judgment of character. There were some things that I missed. All of a sudden, you start to reevaluate how you evaluate people and take responsibility for the role that you played in making that certain decision. That gives you your power back. I'm not talking about us owning what someone else did. I'm talking about owning the role that we played, never allowing a person, a place, or a thing to take our power from us. And that happens whenever we run under the banner carrying the flag of, it's not my fault. You know, and it's not even about fault, because it's not even about blame. It's about ownership, it's about accountability, and it's about responsibility for our own lives. Because you have a life, and you are the one that's responsible for it, just like I'm responsible for mine. Now, number three is, don't turn a cut into an amputation. And it's as simply as, don't turn a wrong turn into a U-turn, right? You make a mistake. That's there for our learning, right? Like the old saying, you know, don't turn a rut into a grave. You make a mistake and you get stuck. That doesn't mean you have to stay there and die there, right? You have this little incident. You don't have to blow the whole thing out of proportion, right? We want to make sure that we're learning from every single moment, whether they're big moments or they're small moments, because we can learn from everything. You can learn from a wise man. You can learn from a fool. A fool, interview a fool, and everything he does, that's a clue on what not to do, right? I mean, for example, if you're looking to become financially successful and broke people are giving you advice and they say, hey, this is what they would do. Hey, get a clue. Do the polar opposite, because they're broke. If somebody doesn't have any success and they're telling you how to become successful, take copious notes, because that then becomes your list on what not to do, because they're not doing it. And say, hey, man, is this what you would do? If they say yes, be like, thank you. I ain't gonna do it. Right? No, and I'm serious. Just like if you were talking with someone that's wise and they're successful. Right? Hey, listen, if somebody is completely and totally unfit, how are they going to be your personal trainer in the gym? I mean, now it gets comical. It's like this is a joke, right? Somebody playing. So listen, we can learn from everything. And some of the learning that we have is painful learning, but yet it's learning. Right? Number four, help yourself through accepting. Right? Because we all have these different circumstances and we all have these different things that we're going to be dealing with. So it's better to begin accepting things as opposed to blaming. Going back to the whole thing of being accountable for our life. Listen, accept it. And while you're accepting it, accept the role that you play. And again, it's not about blame. It's not even about blaming that other person, even whatever he or she or they or did, or even the environment or the economy. You got laid off from your job or whatever it may be. It is what it is. Remember, we talked about not resisting reality and fighting the facts, right? This is about freeing ourselves up so that we're able to flow and roll with the punches of life as they come. So you can help yourself by just accepting what's happened and not blaming, and then forgiving and not resisting, right? Just go ahead and forgive and don't resist, right? And then just surrendering to what's going on instead of resenting what's going on. Now, here's the thing. This is scripture, Proverbs 6:27. And it says, can a man carry fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer obviously is no. And the reason I bring that one up is because if you're unforgiving and you're being resentful and all that, guess what? Who's the one that's being, if you are unforgiving of someone else and you are resenting someone else, you're the one being burned by, you're carrying that those dark emotions. They're not carrying that. Right? You are being the one weighed down. Your mind is the one that is clouded by that. Your emotions are the one that are becoming muffled by that. Right? You're the one who's being burned by those emotions, not the other person. How can we feel that you hating this person, you resenting this person, and you not forgiving this person is going to be hurting them? Right? It's hurting you. You're the one that's being burned by holding, regardless of what the person did. And listen, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that it wasn't painful for that moment. I'm sure it was painful for that moment, right? But you don't have to turn pain into suffering, right? You can have a moment of pain, but we decide if we want to continue to carry that and allow that to become suffering, right? You can remember certain things, but you can remember them in such a way where it serves you and it doesn't sabotage you. How we remember things, and we talked about that, right? How we go about replaying our past. How we replay our past is a choice, right? Sometimes if you really want to give yourself a gift and really free yourself up, people that have done some of the worst things to you so you may feel, remember some of the beautiful things about them. If you had a relationship for a while that eventually went horrible, you may be, and the thing that you magnify is the point where it turned bad. Right? Well, you could choose to remember, you know, the person was like, you know, they were really cool at this time and, you know, I love them and all this other kind of stuff. I just remember the better parts. Hey, the whole deal is over anyway. And if you're going to remember it, hey, look, you really genuinely had a great time at a certain point in your life at that company or in that relationship or whatever. You can equally choose to remember that. Right? And then, hey, you know, every book has chapters. And you go from one chapter to another chapter, and the folding of the page from one relationship turns to a new page where there's a new relationship to where ultimately you get to the end of the book and you close it, and that's the end of your life, right? So we can choose how we want to go back to reference things. And number five, real quick before we close out, move beyond your feelings of distress and discomfort and defensiveness, right? Move beyond them. How can you use those feelings and use them for fuel, right? You know, basically do these stream of thought writings where whatever it is you're feeling, you're thinking, just get it on paper. You'll actually feel better once you get it out of your head and out of your body and get it on paper. Write letters, whether you send them or not, just write letters to people, right? And then give yourself a gift. As much as you want to maybe state how bad somebody hurt you or how much you dislike somebody or something that happened in the past, find the strength to write something good and loving about that person. Remember something that was loving about that person, because that would be incredibly helpful. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining into today's show with Dr. Dentley and myself. He had a little internet connection, but that's no problem. We're still here for you. We're inspired to keep on going. Hey, listen, make sure that you tune in next week to the Be Inspired Radio Show. Share with your family and your friends. And if you want to get the show notes from today's shows and previous shows, run over to Facebook to the Be Inspired Facebook page where you can get today's show notes and all the previous show notes. And as always, we're going to have another very inspiring episode next week. So tune in live next Thursday at 1 p.m. Central. And I'll see you there. And on behalf of Dr. Dentley and myself and the whole Voice America Influence team and our producer, Jeff, I want to thank you all for tuning in. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Be Inspired. Be sure to join James Dentley and Stephen Pierce for another inspiring show next Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Until we talk again, be inspired to live your best life ever.